state hospital or could be in another state hospital, but if they are committed, it is to the division.
Private hospital with such a commitment, with placement in a private hospital?
As I believe so, yes. Yes, they could, definitely.
How does a mental, may I ask a question? How does the Mental Health Association feel about the idea that 4 years after such a commitment, you in effect would be under a disability as to possessing a firearm unless you convinced the circuit judge that it was okay?
Mr. Chair, we would be comfortable with that time limit, yes. Mr. Chair, if I could bring up another part of that same issue, there has been some discussion as to whether the commitment should be for dangerousness or just be a commitment, because you can be committed never having been violent, never having threatened anyone, never having been dangerous, but just found to have been unable to care for yourself. You could be committed on that basis.
Chairman?
Isn't that a part of a broader category, the McNaught rule? Concept that if you're unable to care for yourself, you're a danger to yourself.
Well, those are two separate concepts in the commitment statute. You can be unable to care for yourself and not be considered by the judge to be dangerous to yourself.
Mr. Chair. Lawrence Young with the Attorney General's Office. You're referring to the Representative Minnis is referring to the McNaughton rule or the Durham rule, various rules that are used for convictions. Under ORS 426.005, which defines mentally ill, one of the grounds or one of the reasons you can be found mentally ill is because you're dangerous to self or others, which is what the amendments which have been proposed by committee counsel include. Another grounds for mentally ill is somebody that is unable to provide for basic needs, as Ms. Luther was just pointing out. There was a meeting of a subset of the group this morning in Speaker Katz's office regarding a number of mental health issues, and at least one of the issues that was waltzed around for a considerable period of time, off and on, was whether or not people who are essentially unable to care for themselves and have been civilly committed for that reason should be allowed to own or possess a firearm. And my understanding at that point, walking out of the meeting, was that the sentiment among the most of the people there, which it was not the whole working group, was that they should not be allowed to possess or purchase a firearm. And I'd point out one other thing, too. Committee counsel has imposed or suggested, or somebody has suggested, that there be a time limit on the people who cannot purchase or own a gun if they have been civilly committed. The working group had no time limit. It was intended that if you have been civilly committed, that's it, that you can go and apply through the process to the judge to be relieved of that particular disability. There is no time limit proposed there. Under the Federal Firearms Act, if you're a mental defective, I think is the term, there is no time limit there either. You can apply to the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Firearms, and Tobacco to get relief, but there is no time limit there as well.
Mr. Chairman?
Oops.
Yes, please, Ms. Luther.
With regard to the time limit, I'm not sure which working group Mr. Young is referring to, but prior to the first hearing on this bill, I and other mental health lobbyists submitted amendments to the Speaker's office, which included a time limit of 2 years, and the Speaker's office agreed with us in concept that there should be a time limit, although we did not agree on a particular time. So this is not a new idea.
Is it possible, in terms of the documentation available out there in the real world today, to make a distinction between a commitment because of dangerousness to self or others as opposed to any other form of commitment?
No, not currently.
Mr. Chairman, the forms that I have seen in commitment hearings that I have attended, the judge makes a specific finding of why somebody is mentally ill, and it is, at least on the orders that I have seen prepared, which are form orders, there is a finding of dangerous to self or dangerous to others or unable to care for self.
What if, Mr. Chairman, what if we amend the mental health statutes to require that a commitment on the basis of dangerous to self or others so state, and then say in the firearms law that if you've been committed civilly or whatever, if you've been committed on the basis of dangerousness to self or others, That's a lifetime disability in terms of having a firearm, unless you appear in front of a judge and convince the judge otherwise, which anybody can do, akin to a felony conviction. But if you've otherwise just been committed, that it's a four-year disability, which is akin to the misdemeanor involving violence disability that we're imposing on people, where for 4 years. Now, granted, after, there may be that someone beyond 4 years may not still be able to care for oneself, which is a lesser situation. And I would say that, to me, that's akin to being a child. We're not letting children have firearms. And if someone's not able to care for themselves, they, too, don't seem to be in a position of handling firearms.
Mr. Chair. Representative Mannix's suggestion that a commitment for dangerousness be a lifetime ticket to the disability would not be acceptable to the MHA or to the Psychiatrists Association or to the Psychologists Association. That is not consistent with the nature of mental illness or psychiatric episodes. If a person becomes suicidal, for example, despondent over the death of a spouse or a parent or a child or something like that 10 years ago, that's not a reason that they should be denied a gun now.
How about dangerousness to others?
Even so. I'm not sure we can make that distinction the way the law reads now.
But the person could just come in and apply to a judge and say, mm-hmm. I'm okay. Here's medical report that shows. See, we've got an escape clause in this act that says that you can go to a judge and have any disability removed, even an ex-con who's a felon. Well, could she answer that question first?
I want to follow on the question. Go ahead. Respond.
Notwithstanding the escape clause, because Section 10 certainly is extremely stringent, but I understand that you're going to fix that. A person who has been civilly committed is a person who has not committed a crime. They have been brought in before a judge and said that because of their current mental state, they need to be committed because they are dangerous to self or others. But this does not mean that they're going to be dangerous next week or next month or next year. People go to the hospital for a lot of reasons that have nothing to do with their long-term state of mind necessarily. 4 years is probably an appropriate period of time to say a person shouldn't have a gun. Now, if someone is chronically mentally ill and has periodic episodes where they become dangerous, then they'll be back into the hospital in another year or in a couple of years anyway, and that disability will keep ratcheting forward 4 years after their commitment. But if they've been through 4 years of stability, then they deserve to have the benefit of the doubt.
Sure.
And they've not committed a crime.
I guess I would agree with that if what we were talking about was an outright prohibition. But this whole process of regulating guns has to do with a very delicate balance between a constitutional right to own a gun on the one hand and society's need to engage in some sort of reasonable protection of itself against people who I think everyone would admit ought not have guns, and we're trying to strike that balance. And I guess I would understand your reasoning if we were talking about an outright prohibition. But where we're simply talking about raising the standard, and we're simply saying this is going to create a presumption, it seems to me to be an appropriate way to deal with that balance, because you're not absolutely precluding someone. You're simply saying because of something that's happened in your past, we at least have to ask the question. And the process we're going to set up is to say you need to go convince a judge who we give, we tell them to put on a black robe and make these kind of decisions because we think they're certified smart and they're going to use good judgment. So I guess I want to push you on that a little bit and get your response to my comment there.
I would have to say that my response depends to a great extent on just what that appeal procedure is going to look like and just what...
Fair enough. Fair enough.
What you're going to make that person go through,
sure.
keeping in mind that they have not committed a crime.
I understand.
And that you're denying them a right, and you know what you're going to require of them in terms of time and expense to get something that anyone else who's not committed a crime can get. So
that's a fair statement. Yeah. That's a fair concern. What is this appeal process going to look like? How many hoops do we have to jump through? And I'm personally not clear on that. So I. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Do we still want to keep the, well, we lost Representative Mannix, but we were looking at the four-year. Going to leave it at the mental illness. I think Representative Clark's sentiment is to not put a year.
I'm not sure. Having just heard the comments about the cyclical nature of some of these argument for a four-year cutoff.
Okay.
Otherwise, I was just grabbing something out of the air and.
I'll move the four-year cutoff that Representative Mannix had moved previously. Are there any
objections to that? Is that limiting it to a finding of dangerousness, or is this just a commitment under the civil commitment statutes?
That's the commitment under the civil commitment. 4 years.
All right.
Objection?
Mr. Chair, if we can make a note to look very carefully at the escape clause, whatever section it is, where we're talking about someone being able to go in and talk to a judge. Because I think we might need to put some different standards in there for someone who falls under Section 4, under these provisions, than someone who's been convicted of a crime. The review standard, the process may need to be the same instead of, in terms of going in front of a judge, but the standards perhaps can be worded differently to recognize the fact that the former has been convicted of a crime, the latter have not, and to give some direction to a reviewing judge on that point.
Three things I want to say before you guys disappear to the floor.
Counsel, you better say, let's say your three things and we'll shut us down here.
There are two technical amendments that have been proposed in Section 3 that I would like the committee to consider today so that we can get those moving. They're on page 7. One has to do with removing the marijuana exemption, and the other one has to do with cleaning up the found guilty but for insanity language.
Okay, I'd move both of those amendments.
Okay.
Any objection? Good, counsel.
Now, in order to meet next week, gentlemen, we need to meet in the evening. Anybody have a preference?
The Friday before a three-day weekend. That's the kind of diligence that I like to see out of this committee.
I like putting the marijuana bill in court.
She had a lot of good data. That was real effective, wasn't it?
For shutting off debate.
I think it's important that the committee plan a meeting next week so we can keep this moving, given the Senate bills that are coming in. I haven't been able to grab any time from any other committees. Hopefully by the following week we can again, but I think that we need to meet next week.
Senate bills are coming?
Believe it or not, they're trickling in.
How about
Senate Judiciary had something like 23 bills up today on work session.
They've
all
been
of them
marathoning.
Said HB in front of them. So they're busy.
So does anybody have a preference of days of weeks that's better or worse? We meet, well.
Probably not Friday.
That conflicts with somebody's...
Mornings, we got problems because of other committees.
We can
probably not Friday evening.
No, I realize
that.
Only
preference.
Why don't we... Everybody has to meet at...
Do you have a morning committee?
I do on Tuesday, Thursday. Mannix has got labor and...
Just give me some direction.
What about trying Friday morning?
Wednesday morning?
I could do Friday morning.
How about, can we make this by Wednesday morning?
Probably. Who are we going to lose?
We're going to lose Mannix. It'll move fast.
Where's Tom? Where's Tom on Monday, on Wednesday mornings?
Transportation? No.
All right, I'll try.
Tuesday, Thursday.
All right.
Okay, let's
I'll
go
track
for
when. I'll try for Wednesday
let's
a.m.
Go for Wednesday, and we're
at 8 or 8:30.
8:30. We do roll. You do your docket.
That's fine. You want to adjourn the meeting, sir?
We're going to adjourn the meeting.